Good morning, and welcome to Cox Media Group Houston's Public Affairs Show, FYI. My name is Susie Hanks. As Texas begins recovering from Hurricane Harvey, many are faced with property damage and making repairs, even remodeling and rebuilding. And for people who've never experienced anything like that, it can be a very intimidating process. You've just gone through a major trauma, and now you don't know where to turn, where there is help for you to make an informed decision before you hire a contractor. It is called the Greater Houston Builders Association, and we're going to talk with two members. First of all, Patrick Mahan, the Vice President of Purchasing for Weston Homes. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
And also Rob Hellier with Premier Remodeling. Hello, Rob.
Good morning.
You both are builders. You both are construction guys. You've been in the business forever, but you also are, you have been on the board of the Greater Houston Builders Association, right?
Yes,
correct.
And so, first of all, for people who don't know what that is, kind of give me an idea of what the GHBA is all about.
Well, the Greater Houston Builders Association, the GHBA, is basically the local trade organization for residential construction and remodeling here in the Houston area. And we provide different types of continuing education, governmental affairs that oversee legislation that affects our industry here in the state and also the local city. And we provide resources of information to the general public for our industry.
Yeah. You have a membership that is how big? Do you have an idea? You cover what, like 18 counties or 11 counties or something like that?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know the actual number, but it's one of the larger type trade organizations for residential construction in the United States.
Yeah, and that is Patrick Mann with Weston Homes, who you hear talking about it. Also, Rob Hellier with Premier Remodeling. You've been on the board before.
I've been on the board of the GHBA and a Remodelers Council.
Okay, so this is kind of a it's a trade organization, but this is an organization that contractors want to belong to because it kind of gives you some credibility and it's not easy to get into, right?
Go ahead, Rob.
It certainly gives you credibility. We are constantly updated on information because it's just the local branch, I guess, of the Texas Association of Builders, which is the state branch, if that's the right word, for the National Association of Home Builders. So we have information flowing to the membership nationally and all the way down to the city level.
Yeah.
And we're involved in all kinds of charity projects as well. HomeAid Houston is a housing-based charity that builders work with, and we just provide an infinite, I would say, amount of resources to the members. And they're not all just builders or remodelers. We have suppliers to the industry as well that are members and developers and so forth.
Yeah. And not only are you helping your members, but you also provide services for people who are looking for builders and for contractors. And this is something that we really want to talk about this morning. There are people out there who have no idea what to do next.
Correct.
Yeah. So, first of all, if somebody listening and they're standing there in the middle and they're just mucking and gutting the house or assessing the damage and they have no idea what to do and where to turn, they can go to the website there and there's some sort resources there to help them. What are some of the resources you guys are providing?
Well, at the GHBA.org website for this particular storm and event, there is a link that you can go to that provides, it's called Disaster Resources. I just looked it up. And it provides information from FEMA, provides information of how to file your claim. There is a membership directory of builders and remodelers and also different suppliers and vendors, we call them associates, that support the home building industry as well as the remodeling industry that they can also contact directly as well. So it's really a wealth of information there.
Yeah.
There's even information on that same page from the City of Houston Public Works Department on, kind of a guidelines on what you're going to have to do and submit from a permitting standpoint as well.
Yeah. It's just a big jumble for somebody who's never been through anything
Correct.
Like this.
Yes.
I was speaking with somebody from the United Way last weekend, and she was talking about the first thing you really need to do is come up with a plan. Having some sort of a plan will give you a guideline and a path to follow, and it all of a sudden takes you from being a victim to tackling the problem and tackling what's happened. And you guys help with that because you can go online there and you can step by step figure out what to do. There are some guidelines there. So if somebody's, the water's gone, What's the first thing that somebody should be doing? Can you give me some steps?
The first thing, if they haven't already done it, is filing a claim with their insurance company. One important thing to note with respect to that is there's potential. Your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover rising water. It does cover water if it comes through your roof, but not rising water. That would fall under the flood insurance program. And then the other thing, which their insurance company could help them with that. Then, of course, there's FEMA assistance, which is it's a supplemental program. It's not meant to be the only source of help in the event of a disaster like this.
Yeah. So they make the call, and some of them have insurance and some of them don't. Are the insurance companies going to give them guidelines of what they need to do next? And can they believe what they're telling them to do?
Yes, I believe they can believe what their insurance companies are telling them. And first thing that's going to happen is they're going to schedule an adjuster to get out there. With the sheer volume of homes affected by this, that's not going to be something that may happen in the first few days. The quicker the claim has been filed, the sooner they're apt to have an adjuster on site. But that would be the first step that they would take. Then another thing that needs to be done quickly is start vacating getting the wet material, whether that's furniture or drywall or whatever, getting it out of the house. That brings me to an important note. You know, we've heard about the less than honorable contractors that may be out there trying to capitalize on this. I was meeting with a person in the Braes Heights area last week who was sharing stories about guys walking through there and offering to bring a crew in if they give them $5,000 to clean their house up. The state of Texas has a law that prohibits the solicitation of down payments during a disaster that's been declared unless that company has had a physical presence in the affected county or an adjacent county for at least 1 year.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's really good to know.
And for the remediation part of the work. So, and there's specific, it has to be a written contract or specific language that has to be in there, and it cannot be waived by anyone, homeowner or contractor.
Yeah. There's so many people out there helping. Why would, I guess that having to pay somebody, it would be kind of a last resort because there are a lot of organizations out there that are helping you do that. Can you safely, you think, rely on the people, good-hearted, wonderful people who want to come in and help you rip out your sheetrock? Or should you be having somebody in there who's got some experience?
If you can afford to have someone, and there's a little bit of a time element as well. But for the most part, the family, friends, neighbors, church groups, whomever coming in there doing it, they're fine, but that doesn't need to be where it ends. There's procedures. The place needs to really be dried out. And there's all kinds of procedures degrees to which it needs to be dried and the equipment for doing that that your church groups and friends and neighbors aren't going to have. One of the things that you shouldn't be using bleach to kill the mold, which is common.
Now, you mentioned that before, that bleach is a mistake, and a lot of people, the first thing they do is turn to bleach. Tell me about this.
It's a toxic chemical that you've just saturated your house with. There are other antimicrobial products. If someone just goes and looks up on the internet, companies that sell safety products in the Houston area, those would be the sources. Some of the big box builder stores may have some. I'm sure there's been a run on it. Paint stores and such like that may have some of those products as well.
Okay.
You know, last weekend I was, like many of us, were out there helping friends in particular neighborhoods. I was in the Meyerland area that unfortunately has flooded a few times in the last few years with some friends, and every home on every street I saw down there had material and drywall and insulation cabinets being pulled out, and it was just, it's just so very unfortunate, and it's great that so many people are out there to help their friends and neighbors and the church groups and whatnot. But to Rob's point, to make sure the house is completely dried out effectively so you're getting rid of as much as you can the mold and whatnot before you start the remodeling process, that's normally when someone that's skilled in remodeling, you would want to have in their home to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't know, you may not have any idea of the tricky places that mold gets into to hide in and things like that.
Right.
And you guys can really give somebody good direction about that. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how do you hire somebody, because so many people have no idea how to do that. And they look in the phone book or they ask a friend who's got a guy who knows somebody. Let's go over how to find somebody who's reputable.
Well, I would just first say, before Rob comments on that, is that, you know, you're going to have that. You're going to reach out to friends, and a friend knows someone that's a remodeler, or I know a guy that knows a guy, and that's just going to be part of the reality of it. At the GHBA website, there is a directory that people can go to look up members that are specifically remodeling companies that do this exact type of work, and so that would be a great resource to do that at. And also the TAB, Texas Association of Builders, has a website as well that can do that, but the GHBA is more Houston-centered for those types of companies. And Rob, you probably have even another resource that you
well, that's mention. That would be my go-to resource or advice for the consumer to go to. You can check on Better Business Bureau's website. That's good. There's a number of online, you know, Google reviews or Yelp or various ones that you can look as well. Check them out. Check some references. One of the things that members of the GHBA, the National Association of Home Builders, has certifications that its members can earn, such as Certified Graduate Remodeler, Graduate Master Builder, et cetera, et cetera. When you go through the GHBA directory and look at those members, look for some of those certifications. Their name. The state of Texas has no licensing for our industry, but those certifications, so something that's a little bit of a, you know, kind of sets you apart, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of a specialized thing. Yes. that they've gotten some education.
That they've
through.
Decided to go and do themselves to be more educated, so that's certainly a positive.
Exactly.
Right. I found on several of the websites, Premier Homes, specifically yours, Ray, that they have. They proudly list those things. If a group has gone on and done that, they put that right up their front so that people can look at it. And a lot of people don't know what that means, but this is what, you know, so if you're going online to look at somebody, these are some things that you can actually look for. They're there.
Correct.
Pretty right up front and easy to find.
Yes.
We are talking today about recovering from Hurricane Harvey. We're talking with some members of the Greater Houston Builders Association, Patrick Mahan, the Vice President of Purchasing for Weston Homes, and Rob Hellier with Premier Remodeling, and about how do we go about getting over this. Let's talk a little bit about some of the people that are walking up and knocking on your door and telling you that they can do it right now. How do you find out whether they're legit or not? Can you ask them for any kind of references? Can people make up references? What are some good questions that you should be asking people who are wanting to help you out?
I'll just say, and this is just my personal opinion, and you know, whenever we have a, you know, a disaster like this, and this certainly was, 27 trillion tons of water dumped on the Houston area.
That's
just an incredible
crazy
amount. When you have something like that, you get what I refer to as storm chasers, where they come into town and they're looking for extra work to do, which we're probably going to see a lot of that happen, unfortunately, in the Florida area within the next week or so with Irma coming down. But in my mind, a mental red flag is if someone's knocking on your door to do some work, that may or may not be the most reputable of outfits to do with that. So, of course, you can ask for references, and you can certainly check those references. If they don't have any references, I mean, I think that's a quick answer is if you want to use them or not, which is you would not.
Is there any requirement for organizations like this, companies like yours, to have insurance in Texas to do this kind of work? Can you ask for proof of insurance, and is it needed?
You should certainly ask for it. There's no real requirement for it.
No.
Certain municipalities around the greater Houston area do require contractors to, in order to pull a permit, to register with them and provide a certificate of insurance issued to that municipality.
Okay.
But not all.
Okay. So that's something that you can ask for, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're good.
Officially, no. But you know, if it was my house, I would want whoever's going to be doing the work to have insurance.
Right. And what about bonding? Does that mean anything? Licensed, bonded, insurance, things like that, those kind of terms. Can people say, yeah, I'm bonded, and then just fake it?
It's not as big of a concern, I would say, or important as having the general liability policy, because you can require, and some of our normal remodeling projects, we may put up various types, either bonds or, you know, all risk insurance policies and certain things above and beyond our umbrella liability policy.
Okay. What about signing contracts? I assume that you guys have contracts with your customers and you want them to sign it. Should people be signing contracts? What kinds of things can they look for, and how can they get advice on that contract if it's good or not?
Well, the GHBA does have contracts that they can go reference that they can pull off in order to use, whether it's for new home construction or for remodeling. certainly, I would suggest everyone having a contract to do. That way, there's no question here or there of how things are going to get paid and when the payment would happen and what is expected of the scope of work that's going to be done.
Okay.
There's certain language in our contracts, well, in any contracts, the state of Texas is statutory language,
right,
for whether that's a home building remodeling or any kind of a contract. Now, that it was one of the benefits of our organization is they constantly update those contracts every time the legislature changes something.
Yes.
However, that doesn't say that any contract that doesn't maybe contain that specific language is not, you know, an enforceable contract.
What about talking about contracts? Let's talk about permits. The permits are very complicated and hard to wade through. You guys do that. That's your profession. You guys are professionals at that. What about if somebody's asking you to get your own permits?
I'd be a little leery of that. I mean, we hear that in normal conditions, aside from, you know, when you have a major disaster like this, that, right, you know, talking to a homeowner about a whatever room addition, they said, yeah, so-and-so wants me to pull the permit. I said, well, you have to ask them why.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those, being in the industry, you know, we know the process. There are permitting services out there that will do it. Mm-hmm. So there's no real reason for a contractor to tell a homeowner they need to pull their own permit.
Yeah. How do you balance, a lot of people are really wanting to get this done, and there's a fear of, if I wait too long, this guy's going to have so many jobs in front of me, it's not going to get done. How do you balance that with wanting to do your homework and wanting to get somebody good?
That's the tightrope. I mean, and that is going to be a reality due to how many homes were affected through this flood and the rain. But that is the balancing act that someone has to do, the immediacy of wanting to get the work done, but you want to make sure you're making the right decisions and you want to do your homework, like you said. And that's the tightrope.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, adding a little bit to that, because he's absolutely correct, is that there's going to be a period of, I would say normally in a condition like this, 6 to 8 weeks before you collect from your insurance company. With Irma bearing down on Florida and wildfires on the West Coast, that may even be longer. So that may provide some, you know, undesirable time to do some of your due diligence. What we're telling some people when they call us is that, you know, we'll get you on a list with a fully refundable deposit. But we really can't do anything until the insurance adjuster has provided you with that estimate and the house is cleaned up and ready to go.
Yeah. You just said something about a deposit, mm-hmm, but you also kind of gave a warning earlier for people who, if they're asking for money up front.
Yes, that it only pertains to remediation contractors.
Got it.
But I will say we have had a physical office in Houston for over 15 years. Mm. The requirement is that you have a physical presence, not a mailbox somewhere or working out of your truck, but a physical place of business for at least a year.
Right. And what about getting bids? A lot of times people get bids and they go with the cheapest bid. Kind of give me an idea of what things they should be looking at in the bids, what kind of questions they should ask about what's in the bid.
Well, I would say it it needs to be as detail oriented as possible. You don't want to have a contractor come out and say it's an insulation contractor or whether it's a remodeler that's just giving the overall bid, or whether you're trying to get individual proposals, say from a sheetrock company or an insulation company, and they say, well, it's just this much money to redo your house. I would ask to get some more details. What does that involve? What does that include? What's the timeline? Give me more of a breakout of specifics as opposed just to giving me a number. Rob may have better information than I do, but that, in my mind, that's what they would want to be looking for.
That's correct. And there's kind of two categories, I guess, those who have flood insurance and those who don't.
Correct.
The ones with flood insurance are going to get an extremely detailed breakdown of their estimate from their adjuster.
Yep.
And that's the thing that you can work with. We're suggesting get a contractor that you've checked out, professional, you trust, and then when you have that adjuster's estimate, then you work on that. You go with a low bid on something, you could run into all kinds of problems down the road. You've just been, victimized by a hurricane. You don't want to be double your pain going down the road in the wrong path.
And if I could just interject something real quick, and I know this is probably a very obvious thing to say, but if you're living in the greater Houston area, if you don't have flood insurance, you need to go get flood insurance. I mean, that really just should be a no-brainer. And unfortunately, there's a number of people out there, there's certainly a percentage that didn't currently have it before the storm hit. And due to the propensity of flooding history we've had here in the Houston area, where it's a very flat area, there are floods that can happen. So you really want to, spend the money wisely and get flood insurance.
Yeah. It's a small amount compared to financial ruin.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We are talking with Patrick Mann, the Vice President of Purchasing for Weston Homes, Rob Hellier with Premier Remodeling, talking about how to tackle these challenges post-Harvey. What about does the Greater Houston Builders Association have anything to do with landscaping and like tree cutting or anything like that? Are any members involved in that, or is that different?
No, there could be companies that we would call vendors or associates that are associate members that could be landscape architects, landscaping companies.
Pool companies,
Exactly.
Same thing. So you guys really are a clearinghouse for lots of different kinds of things.
Yeah, it's
like
not
that.
Just builders and remodelers. It's the other companies that support our industry that, insulation companies, drywall companies, really anything and everything that goes into building a home or remodeling a residence, the suppliers that supply that material and the goods and services are also members or can also be members.
Yeah. And what about being tax exempt? I know that in disasters and things, taxes and on labor and things kind of are different. Do you guys have any tips about that you know of, you can pass on?
The only thing, I'm not sure about what additional breaks you get in a disaster like this, but just in general in remodeling, I do know that there are most of the work, and I'm just going to kind of lump it all together, is exempt from sales taxes. Unlike commercial work, where a contractor has to charge and pay sales tax on everything they do, there's only certain things in remodeling work, which does include demolition is one of those, and trash removal and stuff like that. That may be the kind of things that are being exempted because of the scale of that kind of work.
Okay. It's so confusing and so many different details, but you have to really have a plan. And what's great about the Greater Houston Business or Greater Houston Builders Association is I'm getting all this information that I'm talking to you guys about from the website. It's all right there.
Yes, it's all right there. It's a great resource of information. So many people, this is what Rob and I do for a living. So we're in that business and have been for many years. Because we've been exposed to things like this for so many years, it's easy enough for us to discuss, but it would be like me trying to discuss what all a CPA does, which I don't have the exposure to that, so you wouldn't want me to speak about that. So the GHBA.org website's a great resource for all these kind of information.
Yeah. What about, say, you are a victim and you're all of your stuff is on the lawn and you are trying to find, you know, you're trying to find a place to live and you're going through all of this and your neighbor guy, he's going through and already starting reconstruction and you're not. There's kind of a feeling there that maybe you're not doing things right, but that might not necessarily be the case.
Every situation is different. Perhaps that neighbor had some financial resources that he didn't have to wait on the insurance adjuster to start doing things. It just really depends.
Yeah,
that's a good point. And one of the things we touched base on earlier about the moisture level in your house, the rule of thumb is to, you know, in taking those moisture readings with the proper tools that the framing lumber, for example, should your walls should have no more than a 17% moisture content, which right now these homes that are flooded are probably in the neighborhood of 50%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You start putting sheetrock on that and you're just creating ideal conditions for mold to grow.
Yeah. There's I guess we've had some dry, wonderful weather seemingly in the last days after Hurricane Harvey. That has a big effect on how soon things can get going too, right?
It does. It helps them dry out. In fact, with the humidity as low as it has been, opening up your houses in this kind of weather is actually helpful.
Yeah.
It did remind me of something to that drying and humidity issue that I hadn't really thought of until one of our members, who's kind of an energy consultant, sent out an email distribution talking about whether to turn your air conditioner on to dry your house out. And it will certainly lower the humidity in the house. But if you have a two-story house, you make sure that it's not one unit that circulates the air from downstairs to the rooms upstairs. If you have separate units. If you're not, then you shouldn't be running your air conditioner. You're blowing that, you know, the mold spores and whatever from
right.
the first floor to
you're
the second
floor. You're just spreading it all upstairs. And yeah, boy, so many different tips and so many different things. I saw something on Facebook, the tip about pulling out the sheetrock and just pulling the tape to, you know, instead of having to cut it all out yourself, just getting the tape line. Lots of different tips on Facebook, although not all of them are credible, right?
I'm
you see
say,
some crazy
probably
stuff
not
on
a
there.
Good tip.
Oh, really?
Get all of the sheetrock out that you think you need to.
Okay. Well, yeah. Don't listen to me then. See, I'm not the professional. You guys are. Finally, just about the association, you guys quickly managed to get information up for people. That was done pretty quickly. I'm imagining that was done as the storm was approaching, huh?
It was done as it was approaching and during the storm itself was my understanding. So we could have an immediate feedback to that for the general public. And again, at the GHBA.org website, there is a section there now. It's called Disaster Resources. They can click on. It's got FEMA information, City of Houston information. It has membership directories that the general public can search for a reputable remodeling company member that can do the work for them. So it's a very good resource.
It's a resource for the builders and for the public.
Correct.
People who are hiring the
Builders
hiring
Association
the
knows where to go
yeah.
for any of these kind of matters. And so it wasn't as monumental a task. Not that it wasn't for those responsible putting all that together, but they start out with the knowledge of knowing where to find those things.
Yeah. And so what is the website again?
www.ghba.org.
Okay. We have been talking this morning with Patrick Mann, the Vice President of Purchasing for Weston Homes. Weston Homes, what's the website there?
www.weston-homes.com.
And also Rob Hellier with Premier Remodeling. What's the website there?
And ours is www.premierremodel.com.
Thank you very much for being here this morning and helping people out. Hopefully it's given some people some ideas. And hopefully you didn't listen to me. You listened to the guys. They know what they're talking about.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. My name is Susie Hanks. You've been listening to FYI.